Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Kedushin is Lamed Ches. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is on the Zech Nishmas, Liba Gabriela Bas Shmuel. We begin today on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We are continuing from yesterday's discussion. We're talking about mitzvahs and ohagas ba'aretz. Those mitzvahs that apply to Eretz Yisrael. We learned back in the Mishnah. Mishnah was on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, that any mitzvah which is tluy ba'aretz, any mitzvah which is connected to the land of Israel, is only noeg ba'aretz. Is only applicable in the land of Israel. But if there's a mitzvah shein tluy ba'aretz, if it is a mitzvah that is not connected to the land of Israel, so then noeg bein ba'aretz ben b'chutz aretz, it's applicable in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, with two notable exceptions, says the Mishnah. Arla and Kalayim. Arla is the prohibition in the Torah of not taking the fruit off the trees for the first 3 years after it's planted. Kalayim is not crossing various seeds on the ground. So these two Yisurim, although they're agriculturally based, they're obviously connected to the ground, but they apply Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz. The Mishnah then brought in a machlokis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer regarding Chadash, whether or not Chadash is aser in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Any grain that grows over the course of the year is considered new by definition. And then after the second day of Pesach, which is coming up in a short couple of days from now, back in the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so that we offered the Karban Omer, and with the offering of the Karban Omer, so all the grains at that point that have grown and been harvested, although truth be told, it doesn't need to be harvested. It'd be true even if it were on the ground as well. But any grains until that exist in this world until that point in time, now transition from being Chadash to being Yashan. And that's it with the Karban Omer. The Gemara, a number of places, tells us nowadays we don't have the Karban Omer, so the day itself is going to be the one that's creating the Heter. The actual day of Tet Zayin Nisan is creating the Heter. Is it going to be the morning? Is it going to be until the evening? So that's a discussion elsewhere in the Gemara. But anyway, that's the idea behind the Omer, transitioning all the grain to go from being Chadash to being Yashan. Does the Isser Chadash apply outside of Eretz Yisrael? So that's a machlokas on the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rebbe Lazar. Although admittedly, as we learned in yesterday's daf, it's not really clear who takes which position in the Mishnah. Meaning the Tanakam tells us that if it's a mitzvah tuli ba'aretz, it's going to apply only in Eretz Yisrael, and then there are two exceptions, and then Rebbe Lazar says Afa Chadash. So as we pointed out yesterday, the Gemara had a question yesterday, whether Rebbe Lazar was going on the rule or whether was he going on the exception. Was he attaching Chadash to the rule, which is it's only applicable in Israel, or was he attaching it to the exception, meaning this is one of the exceptional agricultural laws that applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael? And the Gemara's conclusion yesterday is that it's the latter, not the former, meaning that Rebbe Lazar was attaching it to the exception, not to the rule. So that means to say that according to Rebbe Lazar, the Yisrael Chadash applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael. What's at root over here is when the Torah describes a mitzvah in the Torah, and the Torah uses the word Moshav. Does Moshav here refer to anywhere we live, or does Moshav refer specifically to the geographic location of Eretz Yisrael? So this, as we learned yesterday, is part of the debate between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. And we saw this debate also take place in regards to the mitzvah of Nesachim. That was also part of yesterday's daf. Just a quick summary of some of the most basic ideas that we saw yesterday. We're going to pick it up in the Gemara where we left off yesterday. An la mezayin amid beis vehashta. Vehashta is found two-thirds of the way down. It's the beginning of the line. The Gemara continues its discussion. So, once we know that there's a chavas aguf, that you have a law that is not connected to the ground, like the mitzvah of tefillin, like the mitzvah of tzitzis, and many, many other examples. So once we have that, Moshe Dekasra Chamana Gabi Shabbos Lamali. So you'll notice a number of times in the Torah uses the word Moshav. Now, if you subscribe to the viewpoint that Moshav means Eretz Yisrael, so it's going to be really difficult because there are a number of mitzvahs we're going to go through, a number of examples right now, where they are certainly not Tluyos Baretz, they're not agriculturally based, and meanwhile, the Torah, when describing them, uses the word Moshav. And why would the Torah do that? That's essentially the question, and the Gemara is going to give answers to a number of examples. So Shabbos. Shabbos, the Torah says, Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshvosechem. Don't light a fire in any of your moshavos. So why would it say the word moshav? So lama litzrik, zagadach, I mean the Gemara says, I had a havamina, hol v'inyana de moados ksiv. So, since Shabbos is said in regards, in reference to the moados, meaning if you open up Parshas Emor, so you're going to see, we're going to be laning it over the course of Pesach. So you open up Parshas Emor, what are you going to see there? That the Eila Moadi Hashem, Asher Tikro Sama Moadam, and one of the examples that's given over there is Shabbos. Now Shabbos isn't the Moed, it's not a point of time. Shabbos happens every seventh day. So I might have thought the Gemara now is going to express a very interesting Havamina. I might have thought Tibai Kiddush Kamo Ados. So I might have thought that in order for Shabbos to work, you need Kiddush. The Gemara here is not making reference to the Kiddush that we say on Friday night. The Gemara over here is that when it mentions Kiddush, it's talking about the sanctification that's done by Beis Din. Meaning, how do we observe Yontif? Well, nowadays we open up a calendar, we look at the calendar, and that's how we observe Yontif. Okay, how are we really supposed to observe Yontif? Okay, and the answer to that is, we're supposed to have a Beis Din who looks at the new moon, or has Edom have a look at the new moon, and sanctify the new month. So the way that we observe Yontif is by Beis Din inaugurating the month, Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Gemara here has a Havamina, it's a very interesting one, that in order to observe Shabbos, you need Beis Din to do something like that as well. Now, it's really, in the Havamina, it's a little bit unclear exactly what the Gemara wants over here. Right? The Gemara wants Beis Din to say, let's have a discussion of when Shabbos is coming. What's today? Sunday? Okay. What's everyone's best guess? Okay, 7 days from now? 6 days from now? Obviously the Gemara here is speaking more of a formality. It's not much of a discussion. There's no real calculation in terms of establishing when Shabbos is. But again, the Havamina would be that since Shabbos was put in the same parsha as a Moed, and since by Moed you need Kiddush Beis Din in order to establish Moed, so you need some sort of formal process by Beis Din to do the same thing regarding Shabbos. Kamash Malam Moshav Dekas Rachmana. I'm sorry. Kamash Malan. And so that's what the Torah says with the word Moshav. Moshav is coming to teach us that no, that irrespective of wherever you live, and you don't need a Beis Din, and Shabbos is just simply Shabbos with or without Kiddush Beis Din. Beis Din doesn't have to add any level of sanctification. Okay, next. Moshav dekas rachman agabe chelav adam lamali. Why does the Torah need to say the word Moshav in reference to chelav adam? We're not allowed to eat the fats and blood of animals. And why would the Torah, when introducing us to that, also use the word Moshav in reference to that? They are clearly Chovatz HaGuf. They're connected to us, not to the land. So it's Zirch Sakadach, I'm in all of in Yana, the Kabbanah's Ksiv, Vizmandi Kakarba Nitzar, Chela Vadam, Vizmandi like Kakarba Lo. So the Gemara says, well, the Havamina would have gone like this. Chela Vadam, we know, are intrinsically linked with carbon. Meaning every time we bring a carbon, what do? We take the blood, we sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. We take the chalev, we put the chalev up on the top of the Mizbeach to burn on the top of the Mizbeach. So, when it comes to a carbon, chalev and dam are necessary components to a carbon. I might have thought the Havamina would have been, once we know it's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, and once we no longer offer chalev and dam on the Mizbeach, so then chalev and dam no longer become prohibited, and they become permitted. That's a Havamina. And the Gemara, in order to... And the Torah, in order to undo that Havamina, says Moshav. Meaning, no, it's not a function of Beis HaMikdash, it's not a function of carbon, it's a function of just simply living anywhere in this earth. Kamash Malan. Moshav dekas of Rechman Agabe Matzah Marer. Here we go. Another question. The Torah, in describing the mitzvah of Matzah Marer, also uses the word Moshav. So, Lamali. So, this also is a Chovasa Guf, not a Chovasa Karka. And so, therefore, why would the Torah have to say the word Moshav? And once again, the Gemara is going to present a Havamina. It's the Rich, the Gemara says, I might have thought. So the Torah says that in conjunction with Matzah Marer, meaning the mitzvah to eat carbon Pesach is as an accessory to Matzah and Marer. It is a package deal, it's a bundle deal. In fact, we know this. Hillel's of the opinion that the three of them are supposed to be eaten together. Right? We're gonna do that on Friday night at the Seder. Zecher leMikdash keHillel. Bein l'tanakama, bein l'hillel, it's a package deal. So it's just a question of whether they're eating together or they're eating separately, but it's a package deal. So now the Havamina will go like this. Bizmandika Pesach. In Bizmandalika Pesach Lo. that this mitzvah of matzah maror is only going to be in conjunction with Karban Pesach. And if we lose Karban Pesach, so maybe we should lose matzah maror. So kamash malan. So the chiddush is that we don't lose matzah maror, even though we no longer have Karban Pesach. Just as an interesting note, I'm sure everybody knows, matzah bezman hazeh is a mitzvah daraisa, even though we don't have Karban Pesach. Maror bezman hazeh is not a mitzvah daraisa, it's a mitzvah derabanan. We don't have Karban Pesach. Meaning maror does not exist as an independent mitzvah. Maror really is only in conjunction with the Karban Pesach. It sounds like from our Gemara that the Havamina is that when I have Karban Pesach, I should have matzah maror. But when I don't have Karban Pesach, I don't have matzah maror. The maskana, the conclusion of the Gemara is, no, even if there's no Karban Pesach, there still is matzah maror. Certainly sounds like from our Gemara that matzah and maror nowadays is a mitzvah daraisa. But we know that's not true. We know that maror, the Gemara in Pesachim is very clear that maror nowadays is only mitzvah darabanan. The only thing I could point out is that if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi doesn't make a comment on this point. But if you look at the Dibra Maschal of Rashi, Rashi just has the words gabi matzah. Rashi does not have the word maror. So it could very well be that Rashi just simply did not have the girsa of maror for exactly this reason. Because maror nowadays is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. Maror today is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Maror is in fact connected with the Karban Pesach. So in other words, I may be reading way too much into Rashi, but the Havamina is actually correct by maror. Nowadays, since we don't have Karban Pesach, so we don't have maror. An a d'oraisa level. Okay. Bia, the Kasav Rachman Agabe Tefillin. So the Gemara says that when we have Tefillin, the Torah introduces it with entering into the land, entrance into the land of Eretz Yisrael. So Upetra Chamor, and also the same thing is true regarding the redemption of your firstborn donkey. Where the last parsha of Parshas Bo, one of the parshios of Tefillin. So in there you're going to have the parsha of Tefillin, the parsha of Petra Chamor, and once again, these are not mitzvos hatluyos baaretz. Why does the Torah talk about entrance? So bia dekaz rachman gabi Tefillin Petra Chamor lameli almi bay lelechad datan debe Rav Yishmael asay mitzvah zu shebishvilat tikanas laaretz. So the Gemara says, well, it could be that over here the Torah is telling us not that there is a contingency between these mitzvahs and Eretz Yisrael in that they are only connected to Eretz Yisrael, because it's simply not true. It just simply means that in the zchus of these mitzvahs, so we will have the ability to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Okay.
But isn't your opinion that says that mitzvah putzaris is really...
There's not. It's not an opinion. There's a Ramban who says it in, I think it's Parshas Kedoshim. If you're really interested, I should know where it is offhand. Anyway, the Ramban says it. There's no Gemara per se that says it like as an absolute opinion. But the Ramban does say it. In fairness, and certainly our Gemaras. For sure, all the conclusions of our Gemaras contradict that. So, right. So the Ramban is not talking from a halachic standpoint. He's talking more hashkafically. It's more philosophy. It's more, just an attitudinal point.
If you have sources in the Gemara like this, where is his source that he comes with?
Right. So, no, but he has. He has sources. I'll take a quick look today. I'll see if I can find it. We can look at it together. Let's continue. We're on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We are coming back to now one of the basic questions that came up yesterday. You have the Torah telling us the word Moshav. And every time the Torah says the word Moshav, it can mean one of two things. It can either just simply mean wherever we reside, meaning Moshavos just simply is it's not a geographic location, it just simply means residence. Wherever you take up residence, so that's where it's going to be. That's one possibility. The other possibility is no. Moshav means geographic Eretz Yisrael. And as we discussed this yesterday regarding the Nesachim, meaning when do the Nesachim kick in? Do they kick in immediately upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael, as long as we just take settlement? Or no, Moshav means it's referencing Eretz Yisrael, and specifically, only after conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, then and only then does Nesachim kick in. So as you remember yesterday, that was a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Eliezer. So, and what is really at the one of the outcomes of this machlokes between these Tanayim is going back to our question of Chadash, whether or not Chadash applies in or outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Rebbe Lazar was of the opinion that the Isser Chadash applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because even though the Torah uses the word Moshav to describe the Isser Chadash, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Moshav just simply means wherever you are, the Isser Chadash is going to apply. So now, with that stated, that was the big machlokas that we saw yesterday. So the Gemara is just going to now tack on a couple more points on this machlokas. So to the position that says that the word Moshev in the Torah is not a geographic location, it just simply means wherever you are. So then we understand that the Torah says that we are going to be able to eat and only be able to eat the grains mimacharas haPesach, the day after Pesach. Meaning, this is Sefer Yoshua. This is the fifth parak. This is talking about the first time that we actually enter into Eretz Yisrael. And the Navi over there describes that we only start eating the grains of Eretz Yisrael the day after Pesach. Meaning, Omer. Then and only then we're allowed to eat. So why should that be? The answer is very simple. Because the Isser Chadash is not, this is Rebbe Elazar Shita, is not connected to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning it applies as long as we are here on this earth, anywhere on this earth. And so therefore, there's going to be an Isser of Chadash. However, the Mimachar Zepetzach Achol Mikar Lo Achol. Ama Akrov Omer VeHadar Achil. So what comes out over here is that first, we brought the carbon omer on the second day of Pesach. This is when we entered into Eretz Yisrael the very first time. And then afterwards, we're allowed to eat the grains. But if you take Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that we learned yesterday, that the word Moshav is referring specifically to Eretz Yisrael, and not just Eretz Yisrael, but conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael, so then what's the holdup? We didn't conquer Eretz Yisrael the moment we crossed the Jordan. It took us 14 years to do so. So that means that according to Rabbi Shmuel, all the mitzvahs at Tluyos Ba'aretz do not start until year 15 while living in Israel. So that means then that the moment we enter into Eretz Yisrael, the Isser Chadash doesn't apply yet. It hasn't kicked in yet. So that means that according to Rabbi Shmuel, we should be allowed to eat Chadash the moment we go into Eretz Yisrael. Because again, Moshav is not going to take effect until conquering and settling of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara now is asking a simple question, a very good question. How do you understand the Pasuk and the Navi? The Navi tells us that they delayed eating in Eretz Yisrael, the grains of Eretz Yisrael, until after the second day of Pesach, until the 16th day of Nisan. Why would they have to wait? That's the question the Gemara is going to address. Lo havu tzrichi. So the Gemara says it was not a halachic issue, it was just a logistic issue. It was pragmatics. It just happens to be that we didn't need food until after the 16th. And that's how you would defend the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara then goes on and actually gives us a timeline to show us that we didn't need. D'chziv, the Gemara says, and how do I know this? It's follow the calendar. Uvnei Yisrael achlu asaman arba'im shana ad bo'am el eretz noshavas. So I'm sorry. El eretz noshavas asaman achlu ad bo'am el kitzei eretz kanan. So, there are somewhat of a conflicting report in terms of until what point in time did we eat the man? Meaning, 40 years. Right? That little we know. That we ate the man for 40 years. One pasuk indicates, let's go over these two pasukim again. Uvnei Yisrael achlu asaman arba'am shana ad bo'am el haaretz noshavas. So, until we entered into the land. And then, esaman achlu ad bo'am el kitzei eretz kanan. Until the border of the land. So, Iyev Shalomar Ad Boam El Eretz Oshavish Kvar Nemar Al Kitzei Haaretz Kanan. The Iyev Shalomar El Kitzei Haaretz Kanan Sharei Kvar Nemar Ad Boam El Eretz Noshavas. So, it's a little bit confusing. One pasuk seems to indicate that we stopped eating it at the border. Another pasuk says that we stopped eating it after we got in. which one is correct? Haketan. So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is we're going to create some sort of bridge. I almost mean it literally. Some sort of bridge between when we stopped eating the man. Haketan b'shiva ba'adar meis Moshe. So the Gemara says, so here we are now. We're going to go over our timeline. So this is year 40. In year 40, so on the seventh day of Adar, Moshe died. Okay, the year set of Moshe Rabbeinu being the seventh day of Adar. We don't know this from Psukim. We know because of today's daf. Meaning, Seder Olam as well. But in other words, the Torah Shabbat Peh is really what gets us to the point that Moshe died on the seventh day of Adar. And we also know that he was born on the seventh day of Adar as well. Upasuk man meleirein. So now, Moshe died, the man stopped falling down. We know Aaron, Miriam, and Moshe were the cause for three miracles as we walk through the desert. Miriam, the water; Aaron, the clouds; Moshe, the man. So upon the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, which took place on the seventh day of Adar, so the man stopped. V'hayu mistapkim miman shebeklaim ad shisha asar b'nisan. So now we're going to be going 40 days forward, meaning from the seventh day of Adar, 40 days later. 40 days later is going to be the 16th day of Nisan. So from the seventh day of Adar to the 16th day of Nisan, so we had enough man that got us through. Now, generally speaking, right.
Man is not supposed to be left over at one.
Right. Now, generally speaking, so man is day to day. So what you're going to have to say, I mean, it's going to be the obvious conclusion, is that that's only true when there's going to be man the subsequent day. So on the last day of man, so then obviously there is going to be an allowance for it to stay over. Okay, and I guess being that it was the last falling of the man, so you're going to also have to say that it was ample supply for the next 40 days. This is the Brisa. So basically the Brisa says like this. Yes, it's true the man stopped before we entered into Eretz Yisrael, and yes, it's true we had man also upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael. It stopped falling with the death of Moshe, which was on the seventh day of Adar, but we had ample supplies. We went into Eretz Yisrael as well.
Do you know what time of day?
I'll tell you interesting. I know this is a machlokas. It's also a machlokas whether he died on a Friday or on a Shabbos. Meaning the Gemara never tells us what day of the week it was. So it's... There's a rush. If you asked me on a different day, I had clarity in terms of where this rush is. Anyway, there is a... another time. I'll strain my brain. But there's a rush that has a discussion in terms of which day of the week it was that he died. It was either, his two options are either Friday or Shabbos. Okay. So where do we stand right now in the Gemara? We're gonna spend a little more time talking about the man, but here's basically where we're at. The Navi in Yoshua tells us that they ate the man. They didn't eat the grains of Eretz Yisrael until after the 16th day of Nisan. Why? So you're basically left with, after this Gemara, two possibilities. One, it was a halachic consideration, or two, it was a simple pragmatic logistic consideration. How is it a halachic consideration? Because the Yisr of Chadosh applied immediately. Because the Yisr of Chadosh, like the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that we saw in yesterday's daf, is not tied and linked to Eretz Yisrael and the settled Eretz Yisrael, but the Yisr of Chadosh applies everywhere. It's a ubiquitous Isser in the Torah and applies everywhere. So that means then that the moment they enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael, even though it's not settled Eretz Yisrael, even though it's not conquered Eretz Yisrael, but the Isser of Chadosh applies. And that's why they needed to wait until the 16th day of Nisan in order to eat the grains in Eretz Yisrael, because up until that point in time, the grains of Eretz Yisrael were Chadosh. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that there was no Isser of Chadosh. The Isser of Chadosh does not kick in until Eretz Yisrael is conquered and settled, which is 14 years upon after entering into Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, why did the Navi describe where they only started eating the grains on the 16th day of Nisan? Answer, it was a very simple, pragmatic issue. They had enough food because the man lasted them a long time. The Gemara Yerushalmi asked the following question. You take a look at the top Tosfos on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and the Gemara Yerushalmi, a fascinating question, and that is, when they go into Eretz Yisrael for the very first time, and they celebrate their very first Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, what presented a challenge to them? Where are they going to get matzah from? It's a simple question. Where are they going to get matzah from? So they get matzah from Eretz Yisrael. So according to one opinion in our Gemara, they can't. Because the matzah that they have is chadash. So where are they going to get matzah from? It's such a great question. So the there are ways to respond to that question, but the Yerushalmi asks the following question. Take a look at the top Tosos, the Yerushalmi Maksha, Lama lo achlu matzah mechadash. So maybe for the first night of Pesach, in the very first Seder that takes place upon entrance into the land of Eretz Yisrael. Very timely discussion. We're hovering right around Pesach. So why not do the following? Eat the new grain of Eretz Yisrael, even if you think that it's an Isser to do so, and the mitzvah of matzah is a mitzvah saseh, and the Isser of chadash is a lo saseh, and v'yavo asay de be'erev tochlu matzos, v'yitche lo saseh de chadash, and let the mitzvah saseh override the lo saseh of chadash. Okay, so that is the question that is asked by the Gemara Yerushalmi. The Gemara Bavli is not bothered by this question for whatever reason. And Tosfos gives two very interesting answers. Very interesting answers. Answer number one of Tosfos is that this Asay and this Los Asay are not on the same playing field. The mitzvah Asay of Matzah is Kodem Adibor. The Los Asay of Chadash is Acher Adibor. And so the first answer of the Gemara Yerushalmi is they're not on the same playing field. Now, I don't exactly know what that means, meaning even though, yes, it's true, the mitzvah of matzah was as a result of an event that took place before Maamad Har Sinai, but once we had Har Sinai, so then the mitzvah of matzah was reintroduced and re-given. So this first answer of the Yerushalmi is very interesting, and I'm not claiming that I totally understand it. Inami Yishlamar Digzera Kizayis Rishon Atu Kizayis Sheni. Or Tosfos gives an answer which is a very Bavli-esque answer, and that is that, and I say Bavli-esque because the Gemara Bavli gives this type of answer to your typical essay dochelos essay question, and that you're right. The Gemara Yevamos, exactly, very good. The Gemara Yevamos gives this type of answer, and that is that the first kesayis of matzah you eat, that's a mitzvah, and then yes, maybe that would be true. That mitzvah essay of eating matzah is going to be dochel the los essay of chadash, but after the first kesayis, everything you eat after that is not a mitzvah. It's called filling your stomach, but it's not a mitzvah, and so therefore you have now the no mitzvah essay. Alo saseh, and so therefore what the Chachamim did is that the Chachamim said, you know what, don't start. Don't do the first kezias, because if you eat the first kezias, atu, you're going to come and eat the second kezias as well, where there no longer is a mitzvah saseh. Okay, very interesting question, very interesting answers. We continue in the Gemara.
Do you think that they actually have the korban Pesach also when you enter the Pesach?
I mean, it's just a logistic nightmare.
But the thing is that they hadn't had Brit Milah yet.
Well, they got a Brit Milah, right?
But the timing, they entered Eretz Israel.
I mean, it's a very, I agree with you, it's a very truncated period of time. Very hard to measure, but the Navi describes it. And Navi said they did. Okay, Tanya Idach. We are in Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud, a little bit more than that. The center of the line, Tanya Idach. The line starts with the word Shishasa ben Nisan. Here's the Braisa of Neisu Achluos Aman Arbaim Shana. The Jewish people ate man for 40 years. V'chi Arbaim Shana Achlu. Now the Gemara says, now that's imprecise. It's not 40 years. V'alo Arbaim Shana Chasar Shoshim Yom Achlu. It's 40 years minus 30 days. Okay, you can count as 40 years in the following sense. Because there were cakes that they took out of Egypt, and those Egypt cakes tasted just like man. The Gemara quotes another brayse. On the seventh day of Adar, Moshe died. V'shiva ba Adar nolad. And on the seventh day of Adar, he was born. Minayin shebeshiva ba Adar meis. And how do I know that he died on the seventh day of Adar? Shenemar v'yamasha Moshe ever Hashem. So we're basically going to create another timeline that gives us this information that Moshe died on the seventh day of Adar. It says, so we have now the death of Moshe, followed by then the 30 days of crying in Arvos Moav, in the plains of Moav. Moshe avdi meis kum avor. Moshe, my servant, died, and you're going to go and you're going to cross. Uksiv, ivru bekerav amachan v'tzivos am leimor. And now we're in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. Hechinu lachem tzeda, ki ba'ot shloshes yamim ta'avir sa yardim. Within 3 days, you're going to cross the Jordan River. Uksiv, ha'am alumina yardin, be'esur lachodesh harishon. And on what day did we cross the Jordan River? We crossed it on the 10th day of Nisan. You know what today is?
It's today.
Today's the 10th day of Nisan. Okay, if you want you want a little siyata d'shma, you want a little yad Hashem for today. I don't know, it's pretty clear. So we're learning the daf on the 10th day of Nisan as the daf. Today's daf, Kedushin Lamaches, is telling us that the Jewish people crossed the Jordan River on the 10th day of Nisan. Okay, I don't know the exact number, but some 3,300 years ago today. Although, if I were better prepared, I'd tell you exactly how many years. But somewhere in that area. So the same Ahem Shlosha, I'm sorry, Shlosha v'Shlosha Yom, Lemafreya. So the Gemara says, now you're going to go back 33 days. Remember, the 10th day of Nisan, so 3 days lingering by the Jordan River, 30 days of eulogizing and grieving the death of Moshe. So you go back 33 days from the 10th day of Nisan, and you're back now on the 7th day of Adar. That is how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th day of Adar. Halamata Shebeshiva Beshiva Ba'adar makes Moshe. Minayin Shebeshiva Ba'adar Nolan Moshe. Now, how do I know that Moshe was born on the 7th day of Adar? Shenemar V'yomar Aleim Ben Me'a V'esrim Shana Anochi Hayom. La'uchal Od Latzeis V'lavo. What does it mean today? Obviously, it's today. What else could it possibly mean? But the Gemara says, I'll tell you what else it could mean. Matam olam hayom, olam shekadosh baruch hu yoshev umemale shnoseim shel tzadikim miyom liyom mechodesh lechodesh. We know that when it comes to the tzadikim, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes their years and makes it precise. In other words, they have a mission to fulfill, and if they are tzaddik and perfectly fulfilling their mission, so they're going to die on the day that they're born. An indication, a siman, that they're doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing, fulfilling their exact mission on this planet. Shenemar by Mispar Yamecha Amalei. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Shmos that Mispar Yamecha Amalei, I'm going to fill out your days, meaning that you are full, you are complete, you fulfilled your mission. That is the end of the discussion, the Gemara regarding the Man. Okay, and the once again just noteworthy that we are learning this Gemara on the 10th day of Nisan. Right. All right. I guess right. The completion would be the day before. Okay, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brayso. Rabbi Shimon Yochanan Amar Shlosh Mitzvos Nisav Yisrael Bechnisa Sam La'aretz Menahagas Ben Baretz Ben Bechutz La'aretz. 3 mitzvos according to the Rashbi, where we were commanded upon entrance into the land of Israel, and they apply both in and outside of Israel. V'hu adin shi'inagu. And the Gemara says, and we could also use a kavachomer to arrive to this conclusion. The Gemara says, let's take consideration. Chadash, the Isser of Chadash. The Isser of Chadash, it's a law of the Torah. It's a negative prohibition. But at the same time, the Gemara says, it's not so severe. And let's explain what that means. Shein Isser Isser Olam. First of all, it's a temporary Isser. Because although the grains that grow over the course of the year are prohibited, once you get to the second day of Pesach, they become permitted. So it's a temporary Isser. That's one. Also, Isser Chadash is only an Isser Achila. It's not in Isser Hana. We're allowed to get benefit from the grain. Can eat it. V'yesh heter li'isuro. And also there's a heter for its Isser. Rashi explains what that means, is that even on the 16th day of Nisan, there's a way to trigger the heter. Meaning it just doesn't, you don't have to wait till the end of the day, meaning in the day itself. And how do you do it? Rashi writes, you bring the carbon omer. So by bringing the carbon omer, so you're going to take something which is also, you're going to make it mutter. The carbon omer is the matir, it permits it. So in 3 ways, the Isser Chadash is lighter. 1, it's a temporary Isser. 2, it's only an Isser Achila, not an Isser Hana. And 3, is that we can even trigger the heter. Now, So, no, Ben Ba'aretz, Ben Ba'chutz La'aretz, then yeah, the Yisra of Chodesh applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, parenthetically, just, you know, it's more than worthwhile noting, the Rashbi holds like Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, in that the Yisra of Chodesh applies the everywhere, both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Wait, one second. Let's finish the argument. Kalayim she'isuran iser olam. But when it comes to the iser kalayim, now iser kalayim is much more severe. When I take grapes, grain, and plant them together in one field, so the product, the yield of that is going to be number one, always usher, permanently usher. The isur and isur hana. And we know that the isur of climb is not just an isur achila, but it's also an isur hana as well. And ain heter li isurim. And there's no way that we could trigger a heter for it. Ain o din shinago bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. So it should apply both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. V'hu adin la'arla b'shtayim. Now, when it comes to Arla, the Kal V'chomer is not as good. We're not going to go 3 for 3 in the Kal V'chomer, but we're going to go 2 for 3. Right? A good day in the major leagues. So we'll go 2 for 3 when it comes to Arla. Now, by Arla, what's missing? Meaning, the fruit that grows off of a tree in the first 3 years. So, Rashi points out, Isser Hana? Yep. It's Isser Achila and Isser Hana. Where does it fall short of not being like Kalayim? So if you take a look at Rashi, V'udin la'arla b'shayim, Rashi writes, Af arla ba b'kafachom ezebishnei hochachos. The arla can also be deduced using 2 of the 3 proofs. Af apishashishayim ba'ashi, ein isar isar olam. It is not always going to be usar. Miu isar hanohu ve'ein lo heter b'tochim e'isuro. However, Rashi writes that, one, it's isar hanah, as we pointed out, and two, there's no way triggering a heter. But it's not isar olam because, says Rashi, after the 3rd year, it's going to be permitted. That's why Rashi says it's not an isar olam. Now, if you do take a look at the second to last tosos, I'm not going to go through it right now. Second to last tosos really does not like this pshat of Rashi. Rashi says after the 3rd year, it's going to be mutter, and that's why it's not an isar olam. So Tosus basically asks on Rashi, wait 1 second. Year 1, fruit comes off the tree. Year 2, fruit comes off the tree. That fruit, meaning, I understand, a couple years from now, the fruit's going to be mutter. But that fruit that comes off the tree, is that fruit ever going to become permitted? The answer is no. So in year 1 and in year 2, the fruit that comes off, and in year 3, the fruit that comes off the tree is going to be prohibited forever. So Tosus doesn't like that pshat in Rashi. Tosus says another pshat in the Gemara. Anyway, but still, the point being made. Let's just, the basic point of the Gemara. Chadash is Aser and Aser all over the world. So, if Chadash is Aser, the Rashbi says, Kavachomer, Kalayim, and Arla are also going to be Aser. Kalayim and Arla are much more Aser than Chadash. And if Chadash is Aser throughout the world, so too is Kalayim and so too is Arla. Okay.
In regards to Chadash and Rabbi Eliezer, first of all, isn't he a dad yachid?
So in this regard, he's not.
What? I mean, he argued with the Tanakam and Chachamim, and he's a dad yachid. He's the only one who stands up and says
that. He's not a das yachid. He's in our Mishnah. He's not the Rabbim. That's for sure true. But as we're learning right now in the Gemara, the Rashbi agrees with him.
But the
Rashi
wasn't on the same level of.
I mean, okay, that I don't know. I can't speak to that.
And one important question is Shamus.
Yeah, that.
How do you hold by him?
Right. So that's a fair question. So generally speaking, if it were just his opinion, I'd agree with you. But as we're learning now in the Gemara, it's not just his opinion; it's others as well. Why does your question is still very valid? Meaning, why did Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when putting the mission together, Why did he phrase that as Rebbe Eliezer's opinion, as opposed to the Rashbi's opinion, for example? I don't know. That I don't know. Okay. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer. We're now on the top of Lam Chesem and Beis. Kol Mitzvah Shin Savi Yisoh Konem Knesav Sam La'aretz. No Agus Bein Ba'aretz Bein B'chutz La'aretz. La'acher Knesav Sam La'aretz and No Agus Ela Ba'aretz. So, when it comes to any mitzvah that is commanded before entering into Eretz Yisrael, so therefore it's not contingent upon Eretz Yisrael, and it's no egg in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. However, the those mitzvos that were instructed only upon entrance upon Eretz Yisrael are going to apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz, but with the following exception. Chutz min hashmatas ksafim v'shiluch avadim. With exception to the forgiving of loans and the sending away of an eved. She'af apishin stav olam la'achir k'nisasam. Even though the mitzvah was only going to be triggered after entering into Eretz Yisrael, it is not an Eretz Yisrael mitzvah. Is going to apply in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara now discusses both of these mitzvahs. Hashmatas ksafen. Let's talk about forgiveness of the loan. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Chovas agufi. You have to be kidding me. The mitzvah of forgiving of a loan is not agriculturally based. It has to do with the fact that I lent you money, and then at the end of the Shemitah year, the loan is forgiven. That's not agriculturally based. Why would I have thought otherwise? Why does the Brice have to go out of its way and say, hey, don't worry, this is not an agricultural halacha? Of course it's not. So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara says, yeah, but I might have thought otherwise, and I'll tell you why I might have thought otherwise. Based on the following braisa, did time the Gemara quotes a braisa, Rabbi Omer, v'zed dvar hashmita, shamot. The Torah says this is the matter of the shmita, shamot. Now, although the simple pshat is that the shmita, the first usage of the word shmita is a noun, and the second usage of the word shmot is a verb. But what we're going to do, b'der chadrush, is that we're going to look at it as a double shmita. What does it mean, double shmita? B'shnei shmita sakasa medaber. The Torah here is speaking about two aspects of the shmita. Acha shmita's karka v'acha shmita's ksafim. One, the relinquishing of the ground, of the land. Two, the relinquishing of your money. And b'zman she'ata mishamei karka, ata mishamei ksafim. B'zman she'ata mishamei karki, ata mishamei ksafim. So the Gemara says, so what do we know? That the mitzvah of shmita's ksafim is only going to apply when the mitzvah of Shemitah's karka apply. But when the mitzvah of Shemitah's karka no longer applies, the mitzvah of Shemitah's ksafim no longer applies. This is the shita of Rebbe. And if I can remind you, it's a little bit easy to remember, because we're doing Lamed Ches and Kedushin. Go back to Lamed Ches and Gittin, although to be fair, I think it's Lamed Zayin, but it's the same basic area in Gittin. And you remember back then, that's why Hillel was able to introduce the Prisbol, because during the days of Hillel, I'm presenting the Gemara like Rashi, although Tosfos doesn't say it this way, but Rashi does. During the days of Hillel lived during the Second Temple, so there was no Shemitah's Karka Minatorah, therefore there was no Shemitah's Ksafim Minatorah. Now they did observe Shemitah, but on a rabbinic level. And they did observe Shemitah's Ksafim, but on a rabbinic level. And that's what allowed Hillel to facilitate and institute the institution of Prisbol, to not forgive the loans, because you weren't violating Nisr in the Torah, you were violating Nisr Midrabanan. And it coordinates with our Gemara right over here. Now the Gemara says, Ve'ema b'makom. But the Gemara says, okay, what did we just learn together? That there's a link between Shemitah's Karka and Shemitah's Ksafen. The Gemara says, now that we know that there's a link in terms of when they apply, so why shouldn't we say now that there should be a link regarding where they apply? Ve'ema b'makom she'ata mishamei karka ata mishamei ksafim. B'makom she'ein ata mishamei karka ein ata mishamei ksafim. Gemara says, so why don't we also create a linkage in terms of location? That we know Shemitah's karka only applies in Eretz Yisrael, so maybe Shemitah's ksafim should only apply in Eretz Yisrael as well. Tamalamer ki kara Shemitah la'ashem b'komakom. So the Gemara says that we have a ribui. The Torah goes out of its way to say that the Shemitah is going to be la'ashem, regardless of where you are, not Shemitah's Ksafim, but obviously a reference to Shemitah's, sorry, not Shemitah's Karka, but obviously a reference to Shemitah's Ksafim, that it applies all over. And it's not just limited to Eretz Yisrael. Let's do one more together. Shiluch Avadim. Chovas Agov. Shiluch Avadim is a Chovas Agov. That we send away the Eved
Ivri,
we send away the Eved Ivri. So the Gemara says that's a Chovas Agof. So the Gemara says, well, Sagadat Chamina Hoviksiv Ukrasim Dura Baritz, Baritz in Bechutz Aretz Lo. So the Gemara says, okay, but I could have easily made an argument that this mitzvah is connected to Eretz Yisrael, because the Torah says that you're going to declare freedom in the land, Ba'aretz. So that Ba'aretz is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe, we had a discussion whether that is referencing Eretz Yisrael or not. Aretz, we know Ha'aretz, Ba'aretz, Be'ha'aretz is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. So Tamar Lomer, Yovahim Akom Akom. So the Gemara says, okay, and so that would have led us to a Havamina to have thought, to have considered that the Shiluach Eved Ivri is only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why I need a special pasuk to teach me that it applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. Imke Matam Alamar Ba'aretz. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true now, so let's ask the simple question. Why does the Torah say Ba'aretz? Bezmancha, drawer, noeg Ba'aretz, noeg Bechutz Aretz. Ein drawer, noeg Ba'aretz, eino noeg Bechutz Aretz. So the Gemara says very simply, it goes like this. If you have Yovel being Noeg in Eretz Yisrael, so then its ramifications are going to apply outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. But once I don't have Yovel applying in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, obviously, the ramifications are no longer going to apply neither in Eretz Yisrael or outside Eretz Yisrael as well. Okay, let's go. Let's summarize, and we'll stop over here. This next part, not a new discussion, but it's a good stopping point. Okay, so today we finished off the Gemara's discussions regarding Moshav, whether Moshav means geographic Eretz Yisrael or it means anywhere you're living. Machlokes Tanayim, the biggest nafkamina is whether or not Chadash applies in or outside of Eretz Yisrael. The halacha is that Chadash applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. That we learned in our Mishnah. We learned the Rashbi's position of that as well. We dealt with today a lot of good questions regarding why did the Jewish people wait until the 16th day of Nisan to eat the produce of Eretz Yisrael? So you have two answers to that. Either number one, Chadash applied immediately upon entering the land, or two, it had nothing to do with an Isser, it had to do with just simple pragmatics. We also dated the death of Moshe to being the seventh day of Adar. The Gemara formulated that based on a series of timelines that are given in the Torah. We then discussed the mitzvahs that are Tluyos Ba'aretz versus mitzvahs that are not Tluyos Ba'aretz. The notable exceptions are Chadash, Kalayim, and Arla. Rashbi on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph says that we could deduce this through a Kal V'chomer. And then the final thing that we learned today is that although mitzvahs that are connected to Eretz Yisrael are going to apply only in Eretz Yisrael, the notable exceptions to that are going to be Shemitah's Ksafim and Shiluach Avadim. Where there, in both of those cases, I could have legitimately made a Havamina and say that they only apply in Eretz Yisrael, but we learned that they apply even outside of Eretz Yisrael as well.